Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 42 of season 10 of Movie Red Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pound 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Todd Liebenow of the Forgotten Filmcast. Welcome back to the show, Todd.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yes. It's always fun having you on. I'm glad that I was able to wrangle you in for another season.
you didn't have to work too hard on this one. I think this is a cool movie. So yeah.
Good. I'm glad. All right. So minute 42 begins with the commissioner continuing to explain his position and ends with Phil giving his assessment. So we ended things yesterday with a conversation between Phil and Harry. You know, this is a cross between The Great Escape and Groundhog Day. So the Borough Commander, played by Kenneth McMillan, who is Harry in this particular case, basically left things off by saying that, you know, we could take out the guy in the cab if you really need to, and the commissioner's like, no, don't even do that. You know, that we would be calling for a bloodbath if we do that. It's a problem. He ended things yesterday by saying, "You understand me, Harry?" And then he continues by saying, "We're taking this threat seriously. Now, what do you got upstairs?" And it's funny that he says upstairs, because he was talking about before, you know, yesterday he was talking about what do you got in the tunnel. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, how are you deployed? He didn't say anything about downstairs, upstairs. You know, there's no upstairs, downstairs here. This is, you know, how are you deployed in general? You know, and he just gave him the information about everyone below. And then now mm-hmm. he wants to know what's going on upstairs, which, again, it's funny that he's just assuming that everything they talked about before was only downstairs, because, you know, he said north and south of the train and whatever. So, you know, he talks
about the tunnels. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So. Okay. So then Phil goes, then Harry answers and says, trucks, cars, emergency medical and rescue units, that works, Phil. Harry, tell me something, will ya? They're in a tunnel, surrounded on all sides, top and bottom. How do they expect to get away? He says, get out of me, Phil. which is a great conversation. Here you have two high-level police officers who, and I mean, this is obviously part of the whole question that this film keeps raising. You know, this is the first time they're raising the question, but they're raising it straightforward. Beforehand, it could be something that a first-time viewer will think about, but they won't necessarily know anything about it. And here, mm-hmm. they're basically saying what any of us should be thinking. You know, how are these guys getting out of here?
Yeah.
What is their plan?
That's the thing when it comes to, you know, a lot of these type of movies. I mean, we talked the other day about how you can certainly see some of the seeds of a movie like Die Hard in this. And, you know, that's something that comes up in a lot of those Die Hard ripoffs, you know, what have you, is that the criminals put themselves into some kind of situation that just on the surface you go, how on earth are they thinking they're going to get out of this? You know?
Correct. Well, again, it makes sense. The idea is that, hey, you know, that's why we wrote this movie. We have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is that plan?
If it was all obvious, yeah, why would you have a movie? Exactly. That's right.
Why would you want to watch the movie if it was completely obvious? That's yeah. Right. Makes perfect sense. And then the shot changes, and we're no longer on the streets. we've now moved once again back to Gracie Mansion. And you know, we see the inept mayor blowing his nose and throwing tissues. Actually, The shot opens with tissues falling on a what looks like a fake plant.
Yeah, that's what I was
It's
like.
a
It's just,
vomit fake
I
plant.
think this is a plastic plant, but I mean, it's like, it's disgusting. Maybe we're more sensitive to this now in our post-COVID world and such. But we're like, who just dumps their used Kleenex on a plastic plant like that? I mean, it's gross.
Yes. Exactly.
I think it's fun though, just this kind of this little detail in the movie that, it just happens that the mayor is dreadfully sick right now and fighting his way through the flu or whatever it is, and so he's bundled up in blankets and stuffed up and can barely speak and all this kind of thing. It's just it's a fun little detail that adds color to the whole thing.
Again, I also love the fact that this actor looks so much like Ed Koch, who would only be
Yes.
mayor a few years from now.
Well, and again, I mean, maybe you've covered this already, but an actor that has played a mayor a couple times. I was actually surprised as I was looking things up and going, all right, why do I know his face from something else? Like, why do I know his face? He's the mayor of Gotham City in Tim
Yes,
Burton's
he is.
Batman. So
That's right.
it's like, all right. So
Yes, we've talked about that too. Yes, I love the fact that again he was typecast, just like we talked yesterday about the fact that that Kenneth MacMillan was typecast as a like police officer, police commissioner type of thing.
A lot of these actors they fall into a certain mold and they play those characters often. Like I've often wondered about doing a project of finding how many movies did Rance Howard play a preacher in, because it seems like all the time Rance Howard is always popping up as a pastor or preacher or something like that.
It's true. Okay, so we just mentioned about plastic plants. Do you know when they started making plastic plants?
I have no idea.
Okay, I mean, we're not going to talk about different type of artificial plants and flowers, made of silk and stuff like that. We're just going to talk about the actual use of the plastic ones. It's only since the 1920s.
Oh, okay.
As it started being celluloid in the 20s to the 40s, the problem was that the material was very flammable, and it led to several deadly fires. And they decided, okay, maybe we shouldn't be using this for plants anymore, because my first thought of when you have plants and going up in flames, it's probably like someone's putting a cigarette out on them or something like that.
Sure,
Probably not a good idea. Then in the 50s, they started using polyethylene.
Polyethylene, yeah.
Polyethylene, there you go. It was a more durable and affordable material that they started making plastic plants and fruits around that time. Eventually, it started popping up in homes, offices, public spaces, and stuff like that. And then in the 70s, someone came up with the idea that, hey, why don't we use polyester for that? Most plastic plants these days are made out of polyester.
Okay.
And because of the advances in the textile production of polyester and the way that they had molding techniques that allowed to have creations that are more lifelike and more realistic textures, veining, and colors. That's the reason why they did that. Of course, they're not as eco-friendly as people might think. So they started using bioplastics that are made out of cornstarch and recycled plastics and stuff like that. It would help make things a little more useful.
Plastic plants are actually something that I used to have to go and buy from time to time because when I was putting together various puppet programs, you know, I've said before when I've been on your show, I've worked as a puppeteer. You know, when you're making props and things for a puppet play, you know, plastic plants are so great because you don't have to make anything. You can just go buy them. So, like, I remember one time we were doing a little Western skit with puppets, and we went and bought some fake cactuses, and that, you know, we used those to dress up the set and all that kind of stuff. So, plastic plants were, you know, just a fantastic thing because it meant less work building props for us.
Ah, there you go. That's always helpful.
Yes.
Very cool. Okay, and we also have the idea of tissues. So when do you think tissue paper started being used?
I have no idea on that either.
Okay, so there are roots from China of them, using different types of paper and stuff like that, but only in the mid-1800s. So in 1857, there is an inventor named Joseph Gayetti who introduced the first commercially available toilet paper in the US, which was sold in flat sheets. And then by 1879, the Scott Paper Company began producing toilet tissue on a larger scale by putting them on a roll. And then 4 years later in 1883, the inventor Seth Wheeler patented the perforated toilet paper roll, which here we are 140 years later, 142 years later, people are still using the same idea of the perforated toilet paper roll. So facial tissues only started being used in the 1920s. By Kimberly Clark was the name of the company, and they had a brand named Kleenex. If you've ever heard of that,
Oh, yeah.
yes. Now, eventually, they originally I've talked about this in the past. It was originally marketed for removing cold cream, but soon became popular as a disposable handkerchief. I'm trying to remember what season I talked about this. Could it have been in *A Wonderful Life*? I don't
I
know.
don't know.
I'm
I'm
trying
not
to think
sure.
of because I don't think it was in any of the *Die Hard* movies where there was where they had
No.
tissue. And I don't believe that it was in *Saving Private Ryan*, so it must have been *It's a Wonderful Life*. Wow, interesting. Maybe I again, I don't even remember.
Of
And.
course, the question though with tissue like that, facial tissue, which box do you prefer? The long, skinny, traditional rectangle box, or the upright, almost more, it's not really a cube, but it's almost a cube-shaped box.
I prefer the elongated one, the rectangular one.
See, in our house, we go with the upright one. I
Okay.
don't know why. That's just what my wife
Okay.
likes.
That's right. That's fine. That's fine. And then in 1931, the Scott Paper Company introduced the first paper towels designed for kitchen use. Which, I guess, well, Scott isn't actually not the quicker picker upper. What was the quicker picker upper?
Brawny is the quicker picker upper, I think.
Okay. All right. And don't squeeze the Charmin goes back with the toilet paper.
Yes, Mr. Whipple.
Mr. Whipple. There you go. Exactly. Okay. So, yeah, we see all of these, tissues coming down, and then the camera pans up, and we see two people walking down the stairs, or three people walking down the stairs, and we see that it's the mayor, followed by the mayor's wife, followed by Warren, the deputy mayor, and so Al blows his nose, and after he throws out the tissues, his wife says, "Oh, Al, it's disgusting. Would you stop it with the tissue?" Warren, would you tell him that other mayors have to live in this house after we're gone? Now, okay, let's first talk about who plays the mayor's wife. Are you familiar with
Yes.
this actor?
Oh, of course, Doris
That's
Roberts.
right. Ray Romano's mom.
Yes. Among
Everybody
many
loves her.
other appearances. I mean, she's been in tons of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, she's been in tons of stuff, but I think that show made her more iconic than she was before.
Yeah,
At least for our generation, let's put it that way.
I think, you know, before that it was just kind of like, oh yeah, I know her face. I don't know her name, you know, type of thing. But I think after doing Everybody Loves Raymond, she became more of a name.
And I mean, again, also if you look at her, she looks really young here, and very different than what we're used to. I mean, she was 49 at the time that this movie came out. She passed away at the age of 90, so she lived for almost another 50 years. She passed away in 2016. She's been gone for 9 years already. So she lived for another 40 years after making that movie. And obviously she was on Remington Steele. We also know her from there.
Oh, that's right. Yes. No, I almost
Mildred.
forgot
She
about that.
was 72 episodes of that.
Yeah, she was like, I mean, I didn't watch that show as frequently. My wife, I know, is a huge fan of that show, but she was kind of like the secretary or something like that. She was like the assistant of the private eyes on that show. Yeah.
That's what I recall of that also. Yeah,
Of
I
course,
mean,
she's I mean, one of the roles I think a lot of people recognize her from now, movie wise, of course, is Christmas
National Lampoon,
Vacation.
Christmas
Yeah.
Vacation, exactly. Right. I Christmas Vacation is one of my least favorite of them, but it's still fun to watch. Now, I find it very interesting the comment that she makes that, what would you tell him that other mayors have to live in this house after we're gone? Meaning she also knows that they're not staying very long here. He's a very unpopular mayor.
Well, you know, I mean, she,
We're
as
here
we
for our
find out
chances.
next time, you know, she's got a plan for at least a few votes here, you know,
That's
so.
right. That's right. That's right.
Well, and I mean, a little further on in this minute, don't you like hear her offering cake to
Yes,
the
we'll
other
get there. We'll
people?
get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, I was like,
So,
that's a little weird.
that's right. So Warren keeps trying to point them in the right direction and goes, "Go on in there, Al, and I'll send everyone in. Just sit down." He goes, "Oh, good." And then Warren turns to the three men who've now shown up and goes, "Thanks for coming up on such short notice, fellas. You all know Jesse, don't you?" And Jesse is the name of the mayor's wife. That's Doris Roberts' name. Again, she's listed as the mayor's wife in the credits. But here she's now known as Jesse. And then he points out, "Chairman of the Transit Authority." And then goes, "Good. Phil, just in time. Hello, Phil. Police Commissioner, let's go, gentlemen." And then Jesse interrupts and goes, "A little coffee? How about some cake? Better skip it, Jesse. We're running a little short on time."
I mean, you know, cake. You can't turn down cake, right? I mean, who doesn't love cake? Come on.
That's true. But they don't have time for that.
No. Yeah. I guess they got more important things to deal with right now. But
Yeah, something about some sort of hijacking, that they were talking about on the news.
yeah, but still, you know, it's cake. Come on.
Yeah. And then Warren keeps talking and he goes, "We all know what's going on underground, don't we? So the main issue is whether or not we're going to pay the ransom. Phil, what do you think?" And then Phil turns around and goes, "Well, we're fully mobilized. I can go down there anytime you say with enough firepower to wipe out an army. But," and then he gets cut off as they continue this conversation. I mean, it's interesting what they're showing us here. Again, they mentioned this a little bit a few weeks ago, that Warren is basically he's the deputy mayor, but he's running everything.
Right,
He
right.
knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these moments are kind of meant to paint the picture that the mayor is a
Very,
bit in
very inept.
over his head, or maybe even is a puppet, shall we say. So.
You like puppets, don't you?
I do, yeah, I know a thing or two about puppets, so
Does he look like a puppet?
I mean, I guess we all could look like a puppet at some point, you know, but yeah, no.
Okay. So and that's how this minute ends, by gathering everyone together in the room and getting Phil's perspective on things for now. So did you have anything else you wanted to add about this particular minute?
Other than just to reiterate, I still say Phil sounds like Walter Matthau in this scene. I just continue to hear the voice and I go, it's Matthau! Matthau ADR'd this, but I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe. Who knows? All right. So every Tuesday, we have a segment called Blues Day Tuesday, where my guests will give their top five Robert Shaw performances. So, once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
So yeah, like I kind of hinted at yesterday, this was tougher because I definitely have some holes in my Robert Shaw viewing. But number five, I went with a little known film that we actually covered on my podcast a few years ago called The Hireling,
Aren't you
which
glad that you watch those older movies, those lost movies, forgotten movies?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's
And you're not
it,
even the first person to mention The Hireling.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, once again,
Excellent.
who was your guest on that episode? Let's see if it's actually the person who mentioned it.
My guest on that episode was actually Amanda Kirkham, R
Okay.
Richard Kirkham's daughter, you know,
So
who.
it's Richard. It was Richard.
Oh, okay.
Who mentioned it a month
Makes
ago?
sense. Makes sense. Well, Richard probably had my number four ranked higher because I know Richard, but my number four is From Russia with Love. So. Number three, The Taking of Pelham
You
1-2.
want to know if he had it higher or not?
Well, I
Or
mean,
you
I would assume I wouldn't assume anything less than number one. So for Richard on that, because I know how he
no,
feels about James
from
Bond
Richard.
movies.
From Richard, you think that James Bond is going to be top
Oh,
one?
well, but his
Oh.
favorite movie is Jaws. So yeah, he probably put maybe he put Jaws at one and From Russia with Love at two. I don't know,
Right.
but.
Okay, that is what he did, yes.
Okay, yeah. So, but yeah, I've got From Russia with Love at four. Number three is The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Number two is Jaws, as great as it is. But my number one, again, because it's a movie I grew up with and it's one of my all-time favorites, is The Sting. Ya falla?
Well, I can do the nose thing
Yeah.
that you can see, but no one else can. Yeah.
I just always remember that's his little phrase. You know, he says makes a statement, and then ya falla. That's what he
Okay.
says in that movie.
That makes sense. All right.
But
And
yeah,
yeah, what were
the
you gonna say?
Sting is. I mean, it's when we got our first VCR, Christmas 1983. That was one of the movies that my parents brought home and was like, "Watch this movie. You're gonna like this movie." So yeah, it's always been a favorite of mine.
You know what? That was also one of the ones that we got the first time they rented a VCR by us also. We had that. We had My Fair Lady. We had Fiddler on the Roof. We had, let's see if I can try to remember any of the others. Nothing else jumps out at me right now, but we had a whole bunch of, we had like a stack of movies that my parents got, and I'm pretty sure The Sting was also on that.
I remember the four movies that my parents rented for that so that we had something to watch Christmas morning after we got that first VCR. They were The Sting, Bullet, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and Blazing Saddles.
Ooh, very nice.
Which I don't think my parents remembered at the time that Blazing Saddles was rated R and was not going to reflect maybe the TV version they had seen previously, but still.
Oh, well. What can you do with that one?
You know, the TV version back then, they edited out the fart noises.
That's right.
Just saw all the cowboys like grimacing and squatting around the campfire, but there was no sound effects. What good is
That's it.
that? Come on.
No, seriously. Especially as kids watching that.
Yeah, no, we're all about the farts. Come on.
That's right. True. The way things work. So every day we have a game called Name That Remake, where I will randomly choose a movie that has been remade, and we will see if Todd will be able to guess that. So
Okay.
let's spin the wheel and see what we get. Maybe it'll be something that you've heard of, unlike yesterday.
No whammies, no whammies, no whammies.
Ooh, okay. Okay, so the original movie came out in 1974, and the remake came
Okay.
out in 2000.
All
Okay,
right.
and it's about a group of criminals that have a short amount of time to commit one of the biggest heists possible.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to give you right now.
My brain's going a couple different ways, but I think I'm going to guess Gone in 60 Seconds.
Perfect. Excellent.
All right.
You see that one that's a little difficult to give you the actual premise because it mentions cars and stuff like that, so I didn't want
Yeah.
so the original the premise on IMDb from the original 1974 one is when a South American drug lord pays Pace to steal 48 cars for him, all but one is in the bag. Thereby, the police precipitate in a desperate car chase against Pace and his Eleanor across Southern California. So that might have given it away. Or the Nicolas Cage remake from 2000 was to save his brother, ex-thief Memphis, must steal 50 luxury cars in 3 days for a crime boss. He reunites his old crew, including his mentor Otto and ex-girlfriend Sway, while police track them. So, had I given either of those synopses, would that have helped? Or
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Those that would have been a giveaway there. But yeah, I don't know why my brain, that's the first place it went. I think part of it maybe was the years. I think it kind of jumped out at me, but I watched the original Gone in 60 Seconds just within the last couple of years. And I recommend it. It's a fun movie. I mean, it's
yeah,
basically,
I like.
like the last half hour, maybe even 45 minutes, is just like one big long car chase.
I did like the original better than the remake, though.
Yes, yeah.
I'm not a fan of the Nicolas Cage version of this one. But okay, oh well, what can you do? All right, so Todd, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Todd Liebenow?
Of course, so the podcast is the Forgotten Filmcast. Find out all the places you find podcasts. The blog is at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. Look for us on the different socials. Just search for at Forgotten Films, film spelled with a Z. And I also love to encourage people to follow me on Letterboxd. I'm kind of addicted to Letterboxd, so.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie on Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieonminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieonminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, at you.
Gesundheit.